नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। We are reading from the 6th canto, chapter 16, entitled King Chitraketu Meets the Lord, text 33. Tatas samadhaya mano manishaya babhashaye tat pratilabdha vagasau नियम्य सर्वेन्द्रिय बाह्यवर्तनम् जगद्गुरुं सात्वत शास्त्र विग्रहम्। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन। देयर आफ्टर बाय कंट्रोलिंग हिज माइंड विद हिज इंटेलिजेंस एंड दस रेस्ट्रिक्टिंग हिज सेंसेस फ्रॉम एक्सटर्नल एंगेजमेंट्स he recovered suitable words with which to express his feelings. Thus he began offering prayers to the Lord, who is the personification of the holy scriptures, the Satvata Samhitas like Brahma Samhita and Narada Pancharatra, and who is the spiritual master of all. He offered his prayers as follows. One cannot offer prayers to the Lord with mundane words. One must become spiritually advanced by controlling the mind and senses. Then he can find suitable words to offer in prayers to the Lord. Quoting the following words from Padma Puran, Srila Sanatana Goswami forbids us to sing any song not sung by authorized devotees. Avaishnava mukhotirnam putam harikathamrutam shravanam naiva kartavyam sarpochishtam yatapayaha. The words or songs of a person not fixed in Vaishnava behavior, not strictly following the rules and regulations, and chanting the Hare Krishna mantra should not be accepted by pure devotees. The word Satvata Shastra Vigraham indicate that the Satchidananda body of the Lord can never be accepted to be made of Maya. Devotees do not offer prayers to the Lord in an imaginary form. The existence of the Lord's form is supported by all Vedic literature. So Hare Krishna. So this chapter is entitled King Chitraketu Meets the Lord. Now meeting the Supreme Lord is not a very ordinary event. It's an extraordinary spiritual happening, and especially meeting Sarvaloka Maheshwara, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is a transcendental experience in the life of a devotee. So today's verse and the preceding verses speak about the divine and ecstatic experience of Maharaj Chitraketu and the impact it had on him. Now to meet the president of a country, maybe India or United States, you have to go through a lot of protocol and you may not meet him also. But when a devotee under the supervision of a spiritual master makes endeavor in his devotional service to meet the Supreme Lord, by his mercy and grace, can bring about this meeting with his devotee. So this is something extraordinary. Therefore, this is not an ordinary event at all. So two things are required. One is endeavor on the part of the devotee. The second one is, of course, the grace divine. Now, this endeavor on the part of the devotee does not meet with success unless and until it is done under the supervision of a bona fide spiritual master. Tatvidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninah tattvadarshinah. So one wants to make spiritual progress, one wants to have an encounter with the Supreme Person of Godhead, it cannot happen just by our own efforts. We require the guidance of a spiritual master. Now it is described in the preceding verses how Narad Muni gave a mantra to Chitraketu Maharaj. Now Chitraketu Maharaj, in the earlier chapters we read how he was on a totally a material platform, but was elevated to the transcendental platform by association first with Angira Muni and later on with Narad Muni, who became his spiritual master. And Narad Muni gave him a mantra which it is said that he chanted with care and attention for 1 week, fasting and drinking only water. So he followed the rules and regulations that were prescribed to him by his spiritual master Narad Muni. And thereafter, by the influence of the mantra which he had practiced, his mind became spiritually advanced and he attained the lotus feet of Lord Shesha or Lord Shankarshana. Now, one may think how within one week he made such tremendous advancement. First of all, what were Chitraketu's qualifications, we cannot evaluate. Secondly, the Supreme Lord Krishna is Swarat. He is completely independent. He can give his grace and his darshan to his devotee within a week, within a moment, if he so desires. Or through different yugas also he may not give darshan, despite the endeavor on the part of the devotee. But here Chitraketu Maharaj is blessed by the grace of his spiritual master and he meets with the Supreme Lord. Therefore the title is King Chitraketu meets the Lord. Now when the Lord met, he came, at that time Chitraketu saw the spotlessly brilliant form of the Lord, which is described as white as the white fiber of a lotus flower, dressed in bluish garments, adorned with helmet, armlets, belt and bangles. The Supreme Lord was looking most enchanting and beautiful. And his face was prasanna vaktra. He was smiling beautifully. And his eyes were aruna lochanam. They were reddish in complexion. So aruna, even arunodaya, early morning arunodaya is very beautiful, enchanting. Just before the sunrise, arunodaya is very enchanting. Anybody who, in Bombay, most of the people do not get to see arunodaya. They may see a smoke or something like that, no, due to pollution. But if you do get to see arunodaya, it is very, very enrapturing, very beautiful event. So, aruna lochanam. And the Lord was surrounded by Siddha Ishwara Mandalaihi. He was surrounded by his very wonderful and perfect devotees like Sanat Kumar. So when Chitraketu Maharaj saw the Supreme Lord, what was the impact it had on him? What was his experience? It is described in the previous verses that Chitraketu became dvasta samasta kilbishaha and swasta amala antakaranaha. What does dvasta samasta kilbishaha mean? He became freed from all his sins. Darshana matrena, just by the sight of the Supreme Lord, who is purity personified, all the impurities were removed. And he became thus swastha. Thus, this particular meeting which Chitraketu Maharaj had with the Supreme Personality of Godhead made him silent and made him grave. Simultaneously, he became pranaya ashru lochanaha. Tears of ecstasy welled in his eyes and prahashta roma. His hair started standing on end. These are the symptoms of ecstasy. So due to ecstasy, tears welled up in his eyes and all the symptoms manifested on his body. And all that Chitraketu could do was offer his respectful obeisances. He was so overwhelmed by ecstasy that he was not, no words emanated from his lips. And now Chitraketu was a very erudite, cultured personality. He was not, you know, wanting in words, but the ecstasy of meeting the Lord was so overwhelming that no words came from his mouth. He was completely overwhelmed, and for a long time, naiva ashakattam prasamiditam chiram. Chiram means for a long time. Prasamiditam means to offer prayers. Much as he wanted to, Chitraketu was unable to offer any prayers. And then in the verse that we are now reading, it is mentioned that by controlling his mind with his intelligence and restricting his senses from external engagements, he recovered suitable words with which to express his feelings. So this is what happens when one is overwhelmed by extreme grief, when is overwhelmed by extreme anger at times, or when one is overwhelmed by extreme joy or ecstasy, one cannot find words. But then here it is described that Chitraketu was eventually able to gain control over himself. And how did he get control over his intelligence? It is described that he did it by samadhaya mano manisheya. By the power of his intelligence, he restrained his emotions, and then he was able to find words of glorification for the Supreme Lord who was in his presence. Now, what prayers he chanted is not my brief today. But we would like to discuss what indeed is implied when we pray to the Supreme Lord. Now, Prabhupada in his purport gives us, in fact, two injunctions, more or less. One is that one must not use mundane words to offer one's prayers. And to be able to find the right words, one must be spiritually advanced and self-controlled. Now, we cannot be spiritually advanced and self-controlled unless we are empowered by the spiritual master and empowered by the Lord himself. So in other words, according to my perception, being able to offer prayers to the Supreme Lord or to the spiritual master with all one's devotion in one's hearts, in the right language, with the right words, requires empowerment. So that empowerment alone can help us to chant. Then the other injunction is given by Srila Sanatan Goswami. He says that one should not hear words or prayers emanating from the lips of a Vaishnava. One who is not a Vaishnava, one who is not Krishna conscious, or one who is not following the rules and regulations of sadhana bhakti, one should not hear from him. Such words or such prayers are like milk touched by a poisonous snake. Sarpa uchishtam yatha payaha. Paya means milk touched. So one should be very careful. So with these two guidelines, we would like to understand what is it that is important in a prayer. And why should we hear prayers from advanced devotees and not from just any Tom, Dick and Harry? So we'll try to understand this during my presentation. Now, what indeed is a prayer? A prayer is nothing but an outpouring of the heart, a devotee's heart. A devotee has such love for the Supreme Lord and he wants to pour it out. Now this outpouring can be in various ways. A devotee offers prayers in a mood of glorifying the Lord, as we will see in the subsequent prayers. Or he can offer prayer in a mood of total supplication. He can offer prayers in mood of gratefulness, being very grateful. Grateful for getting a human body, grateful for getting a spiritual master, grateful for getting devotional service. So many causes why we can be grateful to the Supreme Lord. Then in a mood of begging forgiveness, so on and so forth. So any spiritual emotion which the devotee has, he pours it out to the Supreme Lord. This is a prayer. And in his purport to an earlier verse, Srila Prabhupada makes a very beautiful statement, very enlivening statement. He says, all the letters of the alphabet and words constructed by those letters are meant for offering prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. Whether it is mundane literature or whether it is spiritual literature, whether they are mundane words or words in prayer of God, all of them eventually come from ABCDFGHIJKLMNOP, isn't it? Elsewhere, in one of his purports, in Shri Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada says that all music, whether it is instrumental or vocal or whatever, is meant for glorification of Krishna. And he says everything is based on Sarigama Padanisa, isn't it? Whether it is horrible music which you hear nowadays while you are traveling, or whether it is spiritual music, everything emanates from that. So Prabhupada makes this beautiful statement. And our acharyas tell us that the Lord, the Supreme Lord Krishna, he doesn't look for oratory when we sing prayers. He doesn't think that, you know, how elegant, you know, words the person has used in his prayer. Nor does he look at geometry, you know, the length, you know, what is the length, what is the breadth. He doesn't look at that. He also doesn't worry about whether there is arithmetic, you know, how many times, you know, the devotee has chanted. Does he chant 3 times, 4 times, 5 times? How many times in his life he has chanted prayers? The Lord is not concerned. Nor is he bothered about whether it is logical or grammatical. Whether it is tarka sangata, you know, whether it is following a particular logic and particular grammar. The Lord is not concerned. So he's concerned with the bhava. So there is this famous verse. Murkho vadati vishnaya, dhiro vadati vishnave, ubayascha samam punyam bhavagrahi janardana. Now, a person who is not well versed in Sanskrit, instead of saying vishnave, he may say vishnaya, in the same mood as Krishnaya, Vasudevaya, Devaki, Nandanaya. He may say like that. Instead of saying Vishnave, Vishnu becomes Vishnave. But he may say Vishnaya. But he says, Ubhayascham, whether you say Vishnaya or Vishnave, Ubhayascha samam punyam bhavagrahi janardana. The Lord looks at not the words. However, it doesn't mean that we use wrong words. We have to use the right, appropriate words in glorification of the Lord. Why is it such a formidable challenge to offer prayers to the Lord? Now, the Supreme Lord is unlimited. His glories, his pastimes, his activities are unlimited. And for people with limited brains, limited intelligence, it is very difficult to glorify him, glorify the Supreme Lord in the way he should be glorified. To the full measure in which it will be glorified, not possible, because we ourselves are so limited in our perceptions. So we cannot really appreciate the glory of the Lord. There is a prayer in, I think, in the 10th canto, where Lord Brahma, I don't remember the prayer, but the Lord Brahma says, the substance is like this. Lord Brahma says that it is impossible to count the number of atoms on planet Earth. It is impossible. It is impossible to count the number of snow particles when snow falls. It is not possible to count the number of light particles or photons in a beam of radiation coming from the sun. None of these things are possible. Then Brahma goes on to say that even if, by the grace of the Lord, such a scientist were to be born who can do all these 3 things which are impossible, still he will not be able to count the glories of the Supreme Lord. So therefore, we have to understand that glorification of the Supreme Lord in most appropriate way is not possible. Therefore, we take shelter of advanced devotees who know him much better than we know. So their words of prayer become our guidelines. So this is the principle why Sanatana Goswami is telling us, you better chant the prayers as sung by the advanced devotees. And thus we find so many beautiful poems in, you know, praise and glorification of the Lord in Vaishnava song book, which we always sing. We begin our day with a song, Guru Ashtaka by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. That is the way we begin our day in the temple. So all in glorification of the spiritual master, all in glorification of the Supreme Lord. One after other, in ISKCON, the prayers are woven. One after other, Narasimha Arthi, this prayer, that prayer, Tulsi prayer, all prayers. These are all standard prayers which have been chanted by earlier Acharya. So therefore, we should try and sing those prayers. Now, as was said, the Lord, all the prayers eventually emanate, Prabhupada says, emanate from ABCD. In this context, I remember a story which I had heard here in the temple. One of the brahmacharis had narrated it. He said there was a child. He saw that his parents were going to the church. And after going to the church, they were muttering something. It appeared like that to the child. They're constantly moving like that. So the child asked his mother, he said, what are you doing? What are you muttering when you go to them? She said, child, we are offering prayers to God. And God listens to our prayers. Why don't you also pray? Child said, yes, I'll pray. So next day onwards, he would go to the church very regularly. And he would stand there near the pulpit and he would start muttering. Now the priest of that church became very impressed. He said, oh my, such a child, you know, offering such prayers. Became very impressed. Just as, you know, when children in our Krishna consciousness, when they sing, you know, Narasimha Arthi, and say, we'll tell the visitor, see how beautifully he sings Narasimha Arthi. Yes, it's a matter of pride. So he became very impressed. So one day he decided, I'll find out what prayers he's offering. So he went to that child. Said, child, what prayer are you offering? He said, I just mutter A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P. 26 alphabets. The priest got disillusioned. He said, what is this? He's just, you know, chanting alphabets. So that night, the Lord appeared, God appeared in his dream, and he told the priest, do you think that your prayers which you chant are outside the orbit of alphabets? They are all originating from alphabets. So, he chanting with great sincerity, I accept that prayer also. So, Lord in his compassion sees bhava, the consciousness. And eventually to be able to chant prayers, we need empowerment. It's very, very important. Another story which I had heard long ago, when I was in student actually, that was the story of four hermits on an island. There were these four hermits living on an island. Now these four hermits living on an island, they used to offer prayers to God. The prayer was very simple. The prayer was, oh God, we are four, you are one. We are four, but you are one. And when they chanted this prayer, so many miracles used to take place. So, these four hermits became very famous. Now, there was this archbishop of the church. He heard that these four hermits are offering prayers like this. He said, what is this? This is not a very methodical prayer. He said, I'll go and teach them the right prayer to chant. So, archbishop came on a beautiful ship with all his entourage, you know, well, nice robes and everything. He came there. He came to the island. The four hermits, you know, they were overwhelmed. My God, Archbishop has come to meet us. So they offered, you know, his obeisances. And he said, Archbishop said, look, your prayer is not correct. You must offer prayers like this, like this, like this, like this. So he taught them so many prayers. And then he said, now I must go. I got so many appointments. So Archbishop was back on his ship with his entourage, and the ship went midstream. It was in the middle of the sea, and the passengers on that ship, they turned and they saw that these four hermits were walking on water, and they came right up to the ship, and they were so, you know, puzzled. They said to the Archbishop, you taught us prayers, but we don't remember any of the prayers that you taught us. The Archbishop said, sorry, I dare not teach you any prayers. You are very close to God, and therefore you are now endowed with powers by the Lord. So it was presumptuous on my part to teach you how to pray. So thus, we find that prayers are an integral part of the spiritual life of a devotee. And here, Chitraketu Maharaj is now able to find words to offer prayers to the Supreme Lord. Now, this helplessness on having darshan of the Supreme Lord, not being able to talk, has also happened in case of Dhruva Maharaj. We find that when Dhruva, also on the instructions of Narad Muni, according to the process given unto him, Ashtanga Yodha Vidhi, he also performed it very faithfully. And then the Lord appeared before him. And when the Lord appeared before him, Dhruva Maharaj was similarly overwhelmed. Of course, he was a boy, young boy. So one can understand that he would not find words to express. So he says, Drugbhyam prapashyan prapibanna iva arbhakaha chumban iva asyena bhujay iva ashlishan. He says that Drugbhyam prapashyan, when Dhruva Maharaj in his ecstasy saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it was as though he wanted to drink the Lord with his eyes. Drubhyam prapashyan. He wanted to drink him. So much enamored was he of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And it was as though he wanted to kiss the lotus feet of the Lord with his mouth. Chumban iva asyena and bhujaihi iva ashlishan. With his arms, he wanted to embrace the Supreme Lord. These were the feelings welling up in his heart. He also wanted to offer prayers, but being inexperienced, he had no words to offer prayers. So, because he was a small boy, obviously, and therefore the compassionate Lord empowered Dhruva. Krutanjalim brahmamayena kambuna pasparshabalam krupaya kapole. So, kambuna, so with his conch shell, the Supreme Lord just touched the forehead of this five-year-old boy, Dhruva Maharaj. And just by that touch, transcendental touch, Dhruva Maharaj became empowered to chant the glories of the Lord. So this tells us that empowerment is a very important principle to be able to chant the glories of the Lord. Otherwise, it is a laborious exercise which doesn't really lead to spiritual advancement. So in our sampradaya, we have a very glorious example of empowerment. I would briefly try to narrate the pastime of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and Baldev Vidyabhushan. This was told to us in the form of a drama by Vishakapriya Mataji and Dwarkadish Prabhu during our drama festival. I'd like to recall that pastime with my limited ability, with my limited memory. So, it so happened that Aurangzeb, he was enraged by the beautiful temples in Vrindavan. He said, what nonsense is this? Hindus are going there and offering their prayers to the deities there. So he wanted to attack and ruin the temples, especially wanted to attack the deities. So when this information became available to the residents of Vrindavan, all the deities, one by one, Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Govind, all were transferred to Jaipur. Why? Because the king of Jaipur was a devotee of the Lord. So they were all transferred. Overnight they were transferred. And they are still there in Jaipur. When you go to Jaipur, we visit these deities. So, they were all transferred there. And the king of Jaipur was a devotee of the Lord. He would regularly worship Srimati Radharani and Govinda Dev. Now, there were some karmakandi, or you can call them karmakandi brahmanas. Not really karmakandi.
there are people, some local brahmanas, they said, why are you worshipping Srimati Radharani? It's not bona fide. Krishna, we understand. There are several panthas where they worship only Krishna and not Srimati Radharani. But why Radharani? Now at this time, it had so happened that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he had wound up his pastimes almost 150 years earlier, and there was a steady decline of Vaishnavism, Gaudiya Vaishnavism. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur became responsible for rejuvenating, giving a new life to this decadent Vaishnava Dharma. So the courtiers and other people in that king's court said that, where is the Pramana? So he said, you call any representative of Gaudiya Vaishnavism to this place and let him debate with us. Let him convince us that Radharani also is to be worshipped. So when this challenge was posed to the king was helpless, and actually Srimati Radharani was taken away from that side. So he became very, very morose, but then he wanted this problem to be solved. So he sent word to the great Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. By this time, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur had succeeded in rejuvenating the Gaudiya Vaishnavism, and also he had become very old and very feeble. He had diseases, he was suffering a lot. So word was sent to him that he should come and debate, but then he was not in a position. So then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur decided that I will send my disciple, and that chosen disciple was none other than Baldev Vidyabhushan. Baldev Vidyabhushan said, I am not qualified to represent this great sampradaya. Who am I? I am just ordinary. But if you order me to go, I will go. No, this is the humility of a devotee. In a very humble state of mind, Baldev Vidyabhushan, on the order of his spiritual master, just in the same mood as Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami proceeding to United States on the order of his spiritual master, he went to Jaipur and he engaged in debate, and he was eminently successful in arguing out. But then those people said that, we want some praman. Is there any commentary which authorizes you to say the things that you are saying? And unfortunately, there wasn't one. And then this Baldev Vidyabhushan promised that in so many days, I'll bring a commentary. And then he came. He begged, he remembered his spiritual master, and then he begged mercy from Govinda Dev. And it was very vividly shown in the drama how Govinda Dev not only empowered this dear devotee of his, but also inspired him, he dictated virtually the Govinda Bhashya, which became an authoritative commentary on the sutras. And this, when it was taken to the court of, you know, the king, Jaipur, and he presented it to all the brahmanas there, they had to put their head down and accept the supremacy of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. So empowerment is such a wonderful thing, and it happened in our own sampradaya. I would also like to talk about Sant Tukaram. Now Sant Tukaram, he was an ordinary personality, a vani in fact, selling, you know, things and all that, not from a high caste at all. But he had such devotion for Lord Panduranga Vitthala that he was constantly 24 hours, Kirtaniya Sadahari, all the time he was chanting the glories of the Supreme Lord. And he knew nothing else but Lord Panduranga. And in his devotional ecstasies, he would chant beautiful verses in glorification of Lord Vitthala and Panduranga. And these are called as abhangas. Now, these abhangas came from the mouth of Tukaram, who was himself illiterate. He had no formal education at all. Came from an extremely poor background, but on a very high spiritual platform. So his abhangas are rated as very high, especially in Varkari Sampradaya. And I know that on one line of his abhanga, people have got their doctorates in different universities. One line of Tukaram's abhang, and somebody writes a doctoral thesis on it and gets a doctorate. So that is the caliber of Tukaram. Now, as it normally happens, he was hated by upper caste people in his village, Dehu. Tukaram would spontaneously chant his abhangas and he never bothered about it. But word went to the so-called custodian of dharma. They are called as dharmadikaris. So, word went to the dharmadikari that there is this Tuka. He is, you know, singing abhangs. And in his abhangs, he's speaking about Vedic truths, highest transcendental truth, which he is not entitled to speak, but he still speaks. We have tried to warn him, we have tried to punish him, but he's not bothered. He's spontaneously chanting abhangas like this. So Dharmadikari, his name was Rameshwar Bhatt, he decided that, all right, there are so many complaints coming about him, I must do something. So he called Tukaram for interrogation. Like people are called, you know, criminals are called to police station, you know. Very often you are called, they record a statement. So he wanted to record a statement of this pure devotee of the Lord. So he said that, I hear that you are singing abhangs in glorification of the Lord. He said, yes, I do. At times I sing. And that is all right. But why are you speaking highest Vedic truths in your abhanga, which you are not qualified to speak about and which the people are not qualified to hear? How dare you do this? He said, you must be really punished for this crime. Tukaram said that, to tell you the truth, I am not singing these abhangs at all. He says, Kaya mya pamare bolavi uttare paritya vishvambhare bolavile. He said that, I am not singing. It is Vishvambhar, the Lord of the universe. He is giving me words to chant. I am an illiterate person. Where am I singing? Saluki manjula bolatase vani bolavita dhani vegalati. Bolavita dhani. One who makes me speak is somebody different. So why is it that you are telling me, I am not the doer, it is Vishvambhar who is making you speak? But of course, that Rameshwar Bhatt was not convinced. It's a long story. He was told that you have to accept punishment for your crime. Tukaram said, yes. He said that you will have to go out, you will be thrown out of Dehu. Tukaram begged. He said, please don't evict me from Dehu. I have my worshipable deities there. And my ancestors have lived in Dehu and I have lived there for all my life. Please don't evict me. Then he said, if this is not punishment you want to accept, there is another punishment. All your writings, all your abhangas, all those books, you throw them in Indrayani river. Tukaram reluctantly had to accept that punishment. He thought maybe this is the desire of the Lord. And he did that. But of course, later on, all those things were given back by Lord Vitthala to Tukaram. And therefore, Tukaram's abhangs are still there today for us to read and appreciate. So thus we find that whenever one somebody prays, it requires empowerment. Prabhupada writes here in his purport. It's a short purport, but very potent. He says that one must become spiritually advanced by controlling the mind and the senses. Now this also requires empowerment by the spiritual master and empowerment by the Lord himself. Otherwise we cannot do it. On our own we cannot practice also Krishna consciousness. We are in this moment by the grace of Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, a pure devotee of the Lord, an empowered devotee of the Lord, who has presented to us this Srimad Bhagavatam, on which I am making a vain attempt to present something. So it's all coming from the parampara. It's coming down to us. Now, there are so many prayers in Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Brahma's prayers, Indra's prayers, Dhruva Maharaja's prayers, Prahlad Maharaja's prayers, Vritrasur's prayers, Kunti Devi's prayers. Now, if you go through prayers of Kunti Devi, you do not find, you know, big bombastic words or prayers. A simple-hearted woman, a pure devotee of the Lord, Krishnaya, Vasudevaya, Devaki, Nandanaya cha, Nanda Gopa Kumaraya, Govindaya Namo Nama. Simple words. But Prabhupada tells us that she is an empowered devotee of the Lord. When she sings this simple prayer, each word is potent with so much spiritual significance. If this were not true, then Prabhupada would not be writing pages after pages on these simple prayers. So an empowered devotee of the Lord, Srila Prabhupada, he wrote his commentary on the simple prayers of Kunti Devi. So thus, our appreciation of prayers, it becomes also possible when we develop devotional service, when we develop love for the Supreme Lord through the process of devotional service. So, Shravana Kirtana Smarana Vangana Pada Sevana Dasyare Pujana Sakijana Atma Nivedana. So, this is the ninefold process, of which the first two processes are most important. By mercy of our spiritual master, by mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we have been given this wonderful Mahamantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So everything is within the fold of this Mahamantra. That's so we have to realize it. It may take us years, not week, like Chitraketu. We may have to go through it for many, many years, maybe lifetimes. But nevertheless, we have to have full faith in the word of the spiritual master, full faith in the words of our Param Guru, Srila Prabhupada, that this indeed is the process. Hare Krishna Mahamantra is itself a prayer, isn't it? Which we are chanting every day. So all devotees of ISKCON are praying, essentially. They may not be praying with necessarily prayers from Srimad Bhagavatam. Some intelligent, empowered people may be doing it. But when they are chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra, also they are chanting prayers. The prayer is, oh, the supremely attractive personality of Godhead, Krishna. Oh, the reservoir of all pleasure. Oh, the energy of the Supreme Lord. Please engage me in your service. Isn't this also a prayer? This prayer all of us can chant successfully. So let us chant once again and I will conclude my class. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. If anybody has any questions or any comments, please feel free. Srivat Bhagavat Puranam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Srila Gurudev ki.